The workers are few. Did you know that, people? Let me say it again. The workers are fewer. You live in America. I'm just going to say it as it is. It's fewer today than it's ever been. Bible colleges are closing because they have no students. Churches are closing and have no pastors. We're in very, very bad shape as a nation when it comes to churches, pastors, missionaries, Christian educators. They just don't exist, and we're not really producing any. So it's wonderful when we see one of our own out of your midst. Sometimes there are churches that go for a long time. They don't raise up one single full-time Christian worker in their history. And so we're praying for you. Not everything's going to go according to plan. So be ready for that. But you were in Sunday school today, and I talked a little bit about sometimes things happen for other reasons. And so when those things happen, look around. God has you to talk to somebody else. You might not be in Wales for 2 months. You might be in the airport for a couple days. You just never know. But you can have services in the airport, and you can reach people there. Amen? Missions work is where? Everywhere. Take your Bible to the book of Acts. I want to bring you a message out of Acts chapter 2. This is the very first church in all the world. The first church was in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus said, I will build my church. When he was here on this planet, it was something that was future. If you remember, he went to the cross and he died on the cross. And then he resurrected. And for 40 days, he was seeing a people. And he preached and taught and spoke and gave the Great Commission. And then he came to Jerusalem, a little town outside of Jerusalem, a little mount that you can see from Jerusalem called Mount Olivet. And there he ascended up into heaven. You remember that? But he told his disciples that they needed to go and reach the world. But he told them to wait. You wait for the coming of the Holy Spirit. They didn't tell them how long to wait. And so they waited in Jerusalem. And then the Holy Spirit came. And that's Acts chapter 2. And when the Holy Spirit came, the church was born and the church began to move out. And you can see the early church, the first church, the church in Jerusalem. You can see it here in Acts chapter 2. Let's read about it. Let's stand to our feet for the reading of God's holy word. I want to bring you a message. Here's the title. What kind of church do we want our church to be? What kind of church do we want our church to be? Now, you can read all kinds of books about churches today. And you can find all kinds of flavors up here in Salina, yes or no? It's called Baskin-Robbins Church. 31 different flavors. You can have it Burger King style. You can have it your way. I'm really not concerned about Baskin-Robbins and Burger King. I'm concerned about the Bible. We ought to be concerned that our church be biblical, based in the Bible. The Bible has the teachings, it has the requirements, it has all that we need, the guidelines for the local church. And so I want to bring our hearts, I want to bring our attention back to the Bible. Because today everybody has their own ideas about what kind of church they want. But I want a biblical church. I want God's church. And so does God. And we're going to see this church. Take a look now. You're in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about how many souls? 3,000 souls. People who had repented. People who had converted. People who had believed, people who had called on the name of the Lord, they repented, they were baptized, they were added to the church. Notice now how the church operated, verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles', help me out, doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Fear came upon every soul. That's a healthy respect. Many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together. They had all things common. and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did eat their meat, their food with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now that's the testimony of the early church, the first church. And I want to take a few things out of this passage. And we need to make sure that they are true in our church today. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for Village Bible Church. Thank you for the pastor, the deacons, the people, their families. Thank you for Sarah. It is a joy in our heart to be a part of her life and seeing what you're doing in her life. Go before her. Help her to come in your name and in your power. And Lord, as we turn our attention toward the Scriptures, toward the early church, Lord, it's so easy to get caught up with what's going on down the street, what's happening in churches all over America. Our churches have become American churches, not biblical churches. They are churches that stick their finger up in the air to see which way that people want and making decisions based on what people want or whatever way the wind is blowing. And Lord, we need a church that's based upon the Holy Scriptures, that's pleasing to you, that is biblical. And help us to see that in this early church. And Lord, help us to see ourselves in the church, the part that we play and the role that we play. God, I pray that Village Bible Church would be all that she's supposed to be, for your glory and for your honor. And that when you return, that you find her busy about your business, the Father's business. This we pray in Jesus' sweet name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to make an opening statement. I think you already know this. The church is the people. The church is the people. The church is not the building. You sit here on some new brown cushions. It looks like you got some new cushions anyhow. I moved from the second row to the third row just so I could get a cushion. Nobody cushioned the first two rows. I wonder why. Nobody ever sits this close. So put one on the second row and I'll move back to the second row next time or the first. But, you know, all kinds of churches. I've been in them tall. I've been in them with great big steeples on them. I've been in them all over the world. I've been in them where they have no walls. You ever been in a church with no walls where the chickens walk through? I've been in them with thatched roof. I've seen all kinds of churches. All kinds of church buildings. When you ask somebody about a church, they'll point to some building somewhere. That's not the church. That's the church building. When Jesus returns, He's not returning for the church building. He's returning for the church. He's returning for His people. You should know that the church is the people. You can have the grandest of buildings and have five people in the church. I've seen some of those. I've seen some of the poorest buildings and the walls are blown out. Now, what would you like to have, a grand building and no people, or lots of people and not so grand a building? What would you like to have? Yeah, I'm for all more people. What do you think God is for? More people. And so then you have these churches in the Bible. This particular church is in Jerusalem. Village Bible Church is located where? Are you the only church in the world? Are you the only one that has anything going in the world? Did you know, I don't know if you know this, but you're at the tail end of the day. Most people have already had church, and some of them had church twice today, and many of them are already gone to bed. You do understand that, don't you? That America and Hawaii is at the end of everything. The day's already started. They're in the Monday over in Saipan with Dr. Way. They're ahead of time. So we're at the end of the day. So many churches are meeting all over the country. They're meeting all over Kansas. And we call these places local churches. local people that are gathering together as a local body of believers, a local church. But there is a universal church, yes or no? Yes or no? Yeah, there's one. And one day, we're all going to be together. For all the times and all the history and all the years, there are people going to live, if the Lord tarries, in another generation after we're dead and gone. And there's generations that were before us. But one day we're all going to be together. That's the universal church. And so when we come here to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, Jesus gives them the Great Commission. He says, you wait for the power. The Holy Spirit's going to come. The Holy Ghost is going to come. And you're going to be witnesses unto me, not just in Jerusalem, but all over the world. And so in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came and the church was born, and you see the early believers in that local gathering waiting. Now they begin to operate, and we have the first church here, and we have a good model. What kind of church do we want our church to be? I want to give you three ingredients from verses 41 through 47. Are you ready? This means yes in Kansas. Are you ready for those ingredients? These ingredients must be in our church. I'm not going to give you all of them. I'm going to give you some of them. But they must be in our church. You want to be a biblical church? You want to be a good church? You want to be a church pleasing to God? You've got to have this. Number one, it was an evangelistic church. It was an outreaching church. It was a church that was trying to reach people. We're trying to give to them the gospel of God. We're trying to show them the way of salvation. We need to tell them the condition that they're in and the ending place if they don't get their life turned around for Christ. It was an evangelistic type of church. Notice in chapter 2, verse 21... the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. If you don't call on the name of the Lord, you're not saved, and you're going to end up in a devil's hell. This is the greatest message, and the primary message of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that He died on the cross for our sins, that He was buried, and that He rose again. Three parts to the good news. And this is what we've got to carry out. This is what we have to share with people. Is everybody in Salina going to come to this building? So when you go out of this building, you're going out into the mission field to share the good news. It's not just the church program. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the evangelist's job. It's everybody fishing in this local church. What would this church be like if everybody you run into, you have some gospel tract from your church, and every single one of you, every single week, you're handing out something from Village Bible Church. Everywhere you go, Village Bible Church, day after day, week after week, year after year, and you did that over a period of time. Do you think it would make a difference in this town? But most of the time as churches, we're bypassing people. We see people, we work with people, we're acquainted with people, we're around people, but we never say anything on behalf of God to people. We've got to be an evangelistic church. Some churches are happy to exist and not do any evangelism. But we've got to be an outreaching church. When is the last time you had somebody come and knock on your door that was not a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon? When's the last time you had somebody from a good Bible-preaching, Bible-believing church come and try to share the gospel with you? Most of us will say we haven't had anybody talk to us in weeks, months, years, maybe the whole lifetime. We've got to be outreaching. And then it says here, if you'll notice in verse 41, them that gladly received the word were baptized. It is a glorious day in the local church when people get baptized. Yes or no? Well, I remember you when you first came to Christ. I remember you when you got baptized. I remember when you didn't know the way was up or the way was down. I remember you didn't even know what was good and what was evil. I remember back in your life, and now look at you now, what God's done in your life. You ever seen some people like that? Maybe that was you. This is what God does in people's lives. They turn their lives inside out. Yes or no? And it's a glorious, wonderful thing. And when you have people in your church that have been saved and baptized and they've grown, listen, wherever those people live, wherever those people work, it affects the people they are around because they knew what they used to be. And now they know what they have become because of one person, Jesus Christ. Jerusalem, I don't know if you know this, but this church turned the town upside down. They turned the town upside down. We got to be evangelistic. We got to have this thrust of sharing the gospel. If we keep doing the same old thing we've always done, maybe we need to get a little creative. Creative in sharing the gospel. Did you know that this building is not used probably as much as it is used? Did you know that? I might be wrong. Somebody correct me. But you know, you can have meetings in here on Mondays and Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays if you want to. Hello? You can offer English second language classes. You got anybody up here in Salina that can't speak English? Yes or no? If you work out in the public, you know there's groups of them moving in here. And you can offer free English second language classes. And you know what kind of English you're going to teach them? The Bible English. And it's a way to meet people. I don't know if you know this, but down in Hutchinson, when I pastored down there, I was on the K-61 committee. You know what K-61 committee was? It was to build that new highway down. You guys ever drove on that thing? Nobody's drove on it? It's a nice highway. And I was on that committee, and I volunteered our church to be the meeting place for the K-61 people. You know who's going to come in? Everybody where that highway is going to go, all those people who lived in those homes, they were going to lose their homes. They're going to have to come to our church and meet at the K-61 advisory committee meeting. And I'm telling you this, they were not happy customers. How'd you like to lose your home to a highway? So I'd be standing at the back door like it was a church service. Here comes all these people into the K-61 committee advisory meeting. I'm shaking their hands like a pastor. When they went out the door, I was on the other side, shaking their hands, going out again. And I told the lady, I said, I'm glad you folks had this at our church. I want to start the introduction. I want to let them know how things are going to go. And so she said, okay. That was the Secretary of State. I think her name was Deb Miller at the time. And she said, okay, you go first. I said, okay, folks, this is a church. There ain't going to be no cussing in here. There ain't going to be no yelling in here. We're going to speak one person at a time. Because these people were mad. And then I said, let us pray. I started the meeting off with prayer. You can do things if you get creative. Did you know if you're going to vote in the Medora Township, you got to come to our church to vote? That's right. If you're voting down there in Medora, you got to come to Medora Bible Church to vote. You're going to be in the building. And we put stuff on the walls. As long as it ain't political stuff, we can put it on the walls. We put stuff in the bathrooms, too, because they're going to go to the bathroom. You know how nosy people are. You got to become creative. How can we reach these people out here? What can we do? Get together and pray about it. What can we do to reach people in Salina, Kansas, surrounding areas? What can we do? Does God want us to do that as a church? Yes or no? We all know this. We need to become creative. Look for ways to share the gospel. Okay? Notice the last statement in verse 47. It says, and the last little words there, last few words, and the Lord added to the church, what was it say? Daily. Not just on Sunday mornings, but daily. Now, when we get our church to the place where people are getting added to the church daily, we got somewhere. How many American churches you know, they're adding someone to the list of salvation daily? How many churches you know like that? Is it possible, yes or no? Is it possible? But we all got to work together. We got to be evangelistic in our minds. We got to be witnessing unto Christ. Notice secondly about this church. Notice this little word here. Take a look at verse 42. Just a little word. It says, and they continued. And what's that next word? I got two people. Come on now, help me out. Verse 42. And they continued what? All right, let's say it a little louder. Let's say it together. What's the word? Steadfastly. You know what that means? When somebody is steadfast, you can count on them. They're dependable. They continued steadfastly. So secondly, we need evangelistic church. Secondly, we need a steadfast church. A church that's steadfast. The winds of the culture are blowing, yes or no? But this church, we're going to move forward even if the winds are blowing in our face. We're going to press on and we're not going to quit because we're going to be steadfast. You understand that? Steadfast. I'm going to stick with it. How many churches you know, they done folded up and gone home? They done folded up what they believe in, what they're for, what their purpose is. They have just folded it up and gone the other direction. How many churches you know like that? Now I want to show you what they were steadfast about, because the Bible tells us, number one, they were steadfast in what? Verse 42, they were steadfast in what? You read it yourself. What's the word? Doctrine. You know what they were steadfast in? They were steadfast in this book right here. Now, I'm asking you right now, how many churches have abandoned this book? Now, they won't say they abandon it. They just don't live like this book. They don't practice like this book. They think the world's practices are better than the Bible's practices. And so they're going to put the world's practices into the local church because this works. So they say. So we got to be steadfast in doctrine. Now, do you guys have Sunday school here? Do you have teachers here? I hate to tell you this, but they teach every Sunday whether you're here or not. They're here every Sunday. The preacher preaches in. You have preaching in this pulpit. They're preaching the Bible in this pulpit. They're going to be preaching in this pulpit whether you're here or not. There are a lot of people that are missing a lot of the teaching and the preaching time. They're missing the doctrine, yes or no? And I'll tell you who's really missing out is our children and our youth. And we got kids that don't know anything today. You know why they don't know anything? Because their parents are not bringing them to places that they can learn. They know more about video games and more about their phones than they do about the Bible. And so what does that mean for the next generation of believers? Oh, we're in trouble. We got to be steadfast in doctrine. Notice, secondly, steadfast in what? Verse 42, steadfast in what? Fellowship. We have this idea going on in America that we get to the church right when it's getting ready to start. We slam in. Everybody rushes in. And as soon as the preacher says amen, we make a run for the back door so we can get to lunch somewhere. What's that word, fellowship? It means to be together. These are my friends. These are my brothers and sisters. This is my family. And we congregate together. We are companions one another. We spend time in fellowship. Somebody defined fellowship as a bunch of guys in the boat, in a ship. You can't get out unless you're going to walk on the water. And you have to fellowship together. Fellowship. It's important in a local church. I would say many times the people in the local church, their closest friends are not people in the church. Sometimes they don't even know the people's names. They don't know people on that side of church or this side or that front or that back, because they come in, they go out, and there's no real relationship between people. Fellowship means companionship. Are we here sporadically? Are we here regularly? Are we here occasionally? Jesus said this, "You'll know my disciples if they have love one toward another." Sometimes you got somebody who's home that can't come to church, somebody who's sick, somebody in the hospital, and there's going to be cards, there's going to be phone calls because the church people care about this person. So I'm telling you, there are many people, they don't participate in any of that kind of stuff. They can care less what's going on in other people's lives. They'll just come here when it's convenient and they'll go home, and that's all they want. They have no fellowship. What would you call a child if you had a child like that? The only time they come home is when they want something to eat or when they wanted you to give them some money. They might be your son or daughter, but they might not want to have any fellowship with you. What does that say to you? What does that say to you if you have a child like that? There's no real love there for you. Is that true or not? So God wants us to be steadfast. evangelistically. He wants us to be steadfast in the Bible. He wants us to be steadfast in fellowship. Notice number three there now in verse 42. In the breaking of bread. Now, that could be the communion. How often do you have communion? Once a month. You have the same day of the month? Boy, you guys are like the Russians. So communion's on the first Sunday of every month. I know if I go into Russian church, it's the first Sunday of the month, I'm going to have to preach on communion because we're going to have it. So it could be the breaking of the bread is the communion. It could be the breaking of bread in hospitality and eating. There's some argument about that, but whatever it is, they were consistent in it. And then notice the last one, the fourth one there in verse 42, they were steadfast in what? Prayers. I'm going to say to you that the prayer meeting is the least attended meeting of all the church. I was in a prayer meeting recently. We did no praying. You ever been in one of those prayer meetings? They did all the announcements of all the finger toes and fingers and arms broken. And we spent all this time about this person and that person. And the guy stood up and prayed for 30 seconds and prayer time was over. And it was the Wednesday night prayer time. We prayed 30 seconds. And by the way, if they do have prayer service, most churches don't have it, do they? It's the number one canceled service in America. And then if we do have prayer service, we're not praying very much. They continue steadfastly in what? Prayers. See, when you go to praying, that means you've got to get your mind concentrated. You can't be thinking about a thousand things. This world causes us to think like that, doesn't it? We got so much going on. When you come to prayer, you got to concentrate. I'm praying to God. I'm coming to God the Father, and I'm concentrating on the person I'm talking to. And I'm going to talk to God, and God's going to talk to me. And we're going to gather together, and we're going to pray as a body of believers. This is what the early church was like. I think it's a good example for us. I think it's a good model for us. I think they had some things in the very first. They're not a perfect church. No church is a perfect church. But they were steadfast. I like this term, steadfast. I think we ought to be steadfast in the right things. Amen? And then notice the last thing here about this church I want to give to you, number three, is that this church was a genuine church. We say genuine. Do you guys say genuine or genuine? Okay. I get different places they use different words. And then they corrected me. Okay, whatever. I can't remember where I'm at, if I said it right or not. We got to be a genuine church. You know what it means to be genuine, right? Notice they were genuine in verse 44. They were genuine in their unity. In their unity. And all that believed were what? They were together. Then notice in verse 46. And they continuing daily with what? One accord. Notice the end of verse 46. With gladness and what? Singleness of heart. I find today that the church people they're disintegrated. They're going in a thousand different directions. They got all kinds of other things that are more concerned about. And we're not genuine in our unity. The Bible says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That means we're all pulling together and we're all pulling for each other. We are a team. We are unified. Notice the genuine church here. Secondly, in giving. Now these folks were some givers. Notice in verse 44, they had all things common. Notice in verse 45, they sold their what? Possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Everybody in the church should be giving. We're not talking about now communism. This is not teaching communism. This is teaching the sharing of our property, the giving of our property. This is not forced. This is not required. This type of giving you don't see very much. They were happy that they had it, and they were happy that they could give it. So I want to encourage you, up your giving, up your sharing. Somebody has a need, people need to step up to meet that need. There's eternal rewards if you do that. Lay up treasures where? In heaven. You cannot outgive God. God wants us to be a cheerful what? Giver. Let me show you a little verse. Go over to Acts chapter 5 and verse 4. You had a man in, at the end of chapter 4 who had some land. He sold the land. He brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Man, you sell Kansas land, you get quite a bit of money for a piece of land in Kansas. Yes or no? It's getting more and more expensive. And then you had this couple by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. You see them? The Bible says they sold a possession. And notice that they kept back part of it. You see that? They kept back part of it. They didn't give it all. And then they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter began to ask him a question. And what did he do when Peter asked him a question? He what? He lied. See, he wanted to act like he gave it all. But he only gave such and such percentage. Is it okay to give such and such percentage? Sure it is. You can choose what you want to give. You want to give 5% here, you can give 5%. If you want to give 95%, we won't mind. But there was a question, if you'll look at this passage, there was a question asked, and you look at it very carefully. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not thine own? And the answer is, yes. And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Did you not have control of the money after the sold? Yes, I had control of it. So you don't need to come and lie about that you gave all of it. It was yours to begin with. The money was yours. You got for it. And if you wanted to give 80%, you could have said, I'm only giving 80%. But don't come and lie and say you gave all when you didn't give all. And then the wife came in a little bit later. You remember her? And they asked her a question, and guess what she did? She lied too. And they both died. So I'm not talking about communism. We're not going to come out to your house and take your stuff. If you want to give it, you give it. If you want to keep it, you keep it. But I think we ought to be generous, yes or no? I think 10% probably ain't enough. I'm just going to be honest with you. 10% is a good place to start. But grow it. Give as much as you can. Give as much as you can. Be generous. These folks, they were giving. Was there needs? Yes or no? There was terrible needs. They had all these people in town, all these people who trust in Christ. Their lives are getting turned upside down. They're trying to stay there to learn more. They're hungry. They probably run out of their own personal money. And there was needs. Was something happening in Jerusalem, by the way? Was there something going on in Jerusalem? Something great was taking place. Isn't it great when you can take your funds and your land, your properties and your material gains, and you can use it for the kingdom of God? I don't know if there's anything greater you can do. But to give yourself for the kingdom of God's work. And then notice this church was genuine now. They were genuine in their enthusiasm about praising God, about their worship. Look at verse 47. Notice the two words it opens up with. Sam? Praising God. Do you see that there? They were enthusiastic. It was a genuine church. They were enthusiastic about coming to church and about praising God and about worshiping God. They were glad that they could be there. Have you ever been to a church that's not so enthusiastic? Now, you ought to be on my end of the church. See, on my end of the church is I'm looking at you. I've been on a lot of ends of the church where they're doing this number to me. Or they're looking over their shoulder to see what the clock says back here. I shoot that clock. They just want the thing to be over with. I didn't want to come, didn't want to be here, and I don't want to come back. That's the attitude that they have. Where's the enthusiasm? These folks are worshiping God. It's not about themselves. Can they hear us sing when we sing? Do they hear the praise of God from our lips? Do we ever praise God? Are we excited about the things of God? Can I get an amen? Can I get a hallelujah? You have this in your spirit where you're just singing, making melody, and praising God. It's an enthusiastic church. Who wants to come when there's no enthusiasm? When the people act like they don't even like to be there. You want to go to that? You ever been to a restaurant where they really don't want to serve you? That you're a bother to them? You want a fork? Okay, I'll get you a fork. Oh, you want that? Then you get to the place where you don't want to even ask them for something. Yes or no? You say to yourself, what do you say to yourself? It's the last time I'm coming in here. There are churches like that. They're not enthusiastic about God. Now, if the Chiefs were playing, they score a touchdown, guy comes up off his seat. I've never seen him come up off his seat before, but he just came up off his seat. He's excited over a piece of leather that went through an end zone. I think we get excited, but we get excited about the wrong things sometimes. I love what they've done all over North Carolina, Virginia, and the East Coast. I don't know who started the trend. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you've not. But they started these signs out there. Every season they put a new sign up on a sign in the front yard of the houses. And the sign they got out now is, "Thank you, Jesus." I'm driving the back roads of North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, and there's a sign in the front yard, "Thank you, Jesus." I look over that sign and I just smile. Praise the Lord. Bless that home. Somebody's happy in that house for the Lord. It's not a surprise that God blessed a church like this. What kind of church do we want our church to be? I think we need to be evangelistic. I think we need to be steadfast. And I think we need to be real. We're not here to put on a show. It's going to be genuine. And everybody has to be involved. And I want to give you one more thought before I walk away from this passage about the church, the body of believers, the local congregation. In the Bible talks about you as a body of believers meeting in this local area. Your church is called the Village Bible Church. The Bible looks at you like a body, a human body. You can see that in 1 Corinthians 12. You can see it in 1 Corinthians 14. And you might be an eye, and you might be an ear, and you might be an elbow, and you might be a toe. What the Bible says about all of us in the local church is that none of us are insignificant. That's what he teaches. Yes or no? And that all of us, the children all the way to the senior saints, even to those who want to be here and physically can't be here, they're all important to this church. And that's what the Bible teaches us about the local church. And God needs you, and God wants to work through you, and God wants to bless others through you. And if everybody in this church, if every person in this church was just like you, what would this church be? Now think of it that way. If they were just like you in how you evangelize, just like you in how steadfast you are, just like you in how genuine and real, what kind of church would this church be? If everybody was just like you. Now, as we stand to our feet for closing prayer, I want to invite you to pray today for your church. You can stand, please. I want to invite you to pray for your church. I want you to look at your church. I want you to take ownership of your church. I want you to be a part of this church. I want you to be genuine when it comes to this church. Real. I want you to be evangelistic when it comes to this church. I want you to be steadfast. These are the things, these are the ingredients. And so I'm inviting you to pray for your church. If you want to come forward and kneel here at the altar and pray, you come on. Don't let anything stop you. Come on and pray. you want to kneel at your pew and pray, you're welcome to do that. Maybe you need to be saved today. You need to call on the Lord today. Why don't you do that? Receive salvation today. Call on Him. We have a great need. We are sinners, and He's the Savior. He's paid the price for our sins on the cross, and whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We can be saved from our sins. Maybe you need to be saved today, young fella, young lady, older man, older lady. You need to be saved today. Don't be playing church. Don't be hoping. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And you can know. Why don't you call on the Lord today for salvation? Do we want our church to be just like us? Are we fervent in enthusiasm? Are we genuine? Are we steadfast? Are we evangelistic? Would we like it if the whole church had the same fervor and zeal and heart and commitment that we have? What kind of church would our church be like if they were just like me? Are we sharing Christ with others? Are we talking to people about Jesus, about the Lord? Are we steadfast ourselves? Are we dependable? Can the church depend on me? Are we genuine? Are we real? These are some of the things that the early church had that we need to have. This is our time of invitation, and we need to pray. I'm encouraging each person to pray. As God leads you, we're going to pray silently and quietly. I pray that we've looked at our own life today. And maybe there's some things in our life we need to confess and get right. Maybe there's some things that we're not measuring up. There's some things that we need to change. Whatever the need might be, this is our time to pray. Let's commit it to God. We saw the early church, now we see ourselves. Are we going to make any adjustments? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'll close our service in just a few seconds. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, what kind of church do we want our church to be? Church is made up of people, individuals, families, old and the young. Lord, we're the church. We can change the paint color on the wall. We can change the carpet. We can change from concrete to gravel or dirt parking lot. We can make a lot of changes. But Lord, the building and grounds might change, but we might not. And God, as we look at this early church and we see the things that were taking place there, marvelous, wonderful, amazing things. The people were all in. They were steadfast. They were steadfast. They were steadfast in the right things. They were genuine. They were real. It was the center of their life. Jesus was number one in their life. Your Son was number one in their life. The church was all important to them. People, what they needed, whatever needed to be done, they were there. And they had a great burden, Lord. They had a great concern. They heard you when you told them to be witnesses, and that you're going to give them power to do it. They were concerned about the lost. They had a burden. They began to reach people right there in the place that you were crucified, the place that they actually rejected you. Even the Bible says some of the priests believed. Lord, help us to be evangelistic as a church. Help us to reach people. Help us to work together as a unit. Help us to be unified. Help us to be striving together. God, I pray that this church would turn this town upside down. We have the power. We have the message. Lord, it's in our hands. How we sing, how we think, how we give, how we share, we live each day. As long as you give us breath, help us to be active. Faithful, steady, true, genuine, enthusiastic. And God, I pray your blessings upon Sarah as she goes from here to represent this church and represent you. Give her wisdom and discernment and understanding and use her greatly. And Lord, we are excited to hear what you have done and will do in her life and the stories that she will have to share with us. I pray, God, that you'd give her fruit and much fruit. And we pray all of these things in Jesus' sweet name. And all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.